It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. I teased this yesterday. I'll read this really quickly, and then we'll go to the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Even Hollywood heartthrobs like Ashton Kutcher get jealous sometimes. The National Enquirer is reporting that Kutcher has demanded his wife Demi Moore stay away from former President Bill Clinton. It's so great. It's great that Bill Clinton is the new standard for Lothario. He's the new gold standard for all of that. Stay away
Why
from Bill.
Why is Demi Moore hanging out with Bill Clinton?
Because he's Bill Clinton. Like, you wouldn't hang out with Bill Clinton given a chance.
I mean, like, is he in town? Does he live in California? The whole thing doesn't make any sense.
His magnetic personality.
Kutcher and Moore recently attended a dinner party in which Clinton was also a guest. Ashton described the party to Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. He said, Bill was so engrossed by Demi Moore, I've never met a president before, but he didn't say a word to me the entire time. I was like the guy who wasn't there. He was looking right past me. At Demi. A source close to the couple told the Enquirer Ashton was angry at being treated that way, and it led to the biggest argument between him and Demi since they married a year ago. I didn't know they got married. Where was I? Oh, I was off the air, so it didn't matter. Demi did her best to explain her side of things to her husband. How weird is that? He's like 12. How old is Ashton Kutcher? Do we know?
Like 27.
Alright, so he's older than I thought, anyway. But she's like 40.
Now he's a stepfather to, like, a 20-year-old daughter.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it that I was just talking to the other day with? Let me tell you this. Well, my dad, because my mom had some kids before she married my dad. So they had kids from a previous nutcase. And when my dad married my mom, Laura and I were just figuring out this the other day because she found my, we were cleaning the basement, she found my birth certificate and listed the ages of the parents. And when I was born, my dad was 25. So by the time my dad was my age, I was already 8, which is a weird thing. Because I know how irresponsible I am. But when my dad got married to my mom, my dad was 22. My mom was 34. And my dad was 22. And I do believe that my mom's oldest son was like 21. She was 34. Would have been 20. Anyway, it's like 2 years difference. Because my dad, when they got married, my dad was like 23, though, and my mom's oldest kid was like just a couple years younger than him. She's 12 years older and got married so young. So, yeah, my dad is like 55 now, and my oldest brother, he has like 52. So that's all, it's all like really weird. And so my whole family's like one big Appalachian, the storybook.
Our dads are the same age.
Is it really? 48? Born in 48? Well, how old? What year is this even? So my dad
2006. My dad was 50. He's 55. If your dad's 55, they're the same age.
No, he's youngest. My dad's 58 because he was born in 48. So anyway, yeah. But so my dad is only like a couple years older than his stepson was. So he immediately inherited a stepson who, by the way, was a slacker and lived at home. So that's got to be awkward. So there's my dad with his new bride, stepson, just like 2 years younger. The Enquirer reports that she was there. The Enquirer reports. Said that there was nothing she could have done to Demi Moore to have changed the situation without being rude. According to the tabloid, Moore and Clinton have had more than one flirtatious run-in. They were also caught getting cozy at a Go, an L.A. restaurant in 2002. Back then, a source told the Enquirer, during the evening, this is like the Storm and David Navarro story, but just with different names. During the evening, there were a few times that Bill was rubbing her back as they were talking. She didn't back away. She smiled warmly at Bill Clinton as he touched her. Well, I wonder how many in how many documents has that phrase turned up? All right, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's roll right on into your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
This is a big news day.
It really is.
We have several top stories, all equally in importance. So,
should we flip a coin?
Sure.
Okay. That's how we do things here. That's the difference between us and CNN. All right. I want you to pick an A and a B. Heads, we will go with A. Mm-hmm. Tails, we will go with B. Okay. All right?
All right.
Tails, it is B.
All right. It's the stingray attack.
Oh, fantastic. Nature's turning against us again.
A Florida man has survived a stingray attack that is similar to the incident that killed crocodile hunter Steve Irwin.
He was the warning shot.
But this guy's 81 years old. He was stung in the chest while boating with his grandchildren. Lighthouse Point Assistant Fire Chief David Gonzalez says the stingray flew into the boat but did not intend to attack.
What actually happened, when the animal got into the boat, Mr. Bertakis tried to get it out of the boat, and in doing so, the animal's barb penetrated his chest.
How can it get into the boat? It doesn't have legs.
Or if it flaps its wings fast enough, I'm sure it can jump out of water.
Okay, but that... Okay, seriously now, we may...
Fish can jump out of water. They do it all the time.
Okay, but that's not a...
If they get a good enough head start...
I'm unclear about... Okay, well, let's get ahead of... First of all, did this happen in Florida?
It did, yes.
I certainly didn't even try for that one. That's right. No, you knew.
You need another healthy snack, you Rick. Knew. I'm sorry.
Did they have any bagels and cream cheese? Oh, God. Anyway, the thing about the croissant, though, is... Never mind. Okay, I know I sound like Bill Paxton in Aliens. How can they cut the power, man? They're animals! But I... Okay, fish can sort of jump out of the water. They can jump sort of straight up and then flop right back down.
Right.
But to jump...
Like dolphins and whales, haven't you seen anything jump?
Okay, this isn't a dolphin or a whale. It's just, they don't have
tail. It has a tail.
But that tail isn't good for propulsion.
It's good for the stabbing.
Yeah, seriously, that tail's not good for propulsion because it's like a real long, thin... there's no fin part on the end of it. You know, like a... like a fish has a tail that, of course, flays out at the end into a crescent shape, and that's what they wave it back and forth like a propeller for propulsion. This is just like a dog tail.
Maybe somebody gave the stingray a ride and it jumped off its back.
This is
into the boat.
Oh, and then tag teaming. It's right. It's sort of speeding towards the boat on a sperm whale, and then just leaps off at the last minute. All right, I regret nothing. You know, just into the to victory. Into the boat.
Well, it sounds logical. It could happen.
Banzai! You know, just onto the old man. No, I just said that tail doesn't seem good for propelling. Again, it's like a cat tail.
It worked this time, didn't it?
It's a uniform. It's all very... And especially if it's a boat, the boat is raised up out of the water. And
it might have been a little rowboat for all we know.
All right. I'm just saying, man, they're coming for us. They are coming for us. Bolt the doors.
Dr. Ted Carlson, the heart surgeon who worked on the victim, James Spartacus, says one of the barbs...
James Spartacus?
Spartacus.
Oh, okay.
Says one of the barbs went through a ventricle.
I am Spartacus.
The barb entered him through the back of the left ventricle on the posterior wall. It advanced through the heart muscle and ran underneath the mitral valve, across the septum of the heart, which divides the left and the right chambers,
septum.
And ended up
I barely
completely
knew him.
Across the tricuspid valve on the right side.
He's just making stuff
sounds
up.
Like someone's finishing a soda in the background. You hear that? It's like...
The barb entered him through the back of the left ventricle on the posterior wall. It advanced through the heart muscle... And
like a CNN guy's finishing a Yoplait?
Across the septum of the heart, which divides the left and the right chambers, and ended up completely across the tricuspid valve on the
recorded.
Right side.
I thought your septum was the thing in your nose that too much cocaine got rid of. Well, whatever. So, anyway...
I don't think this 81-year-old man was doing cocaine.
Well, you know, he might as well start now, what you got to lose at this point. And that's that he was just making up. It's like when they talk about, what is that thing, that mastozoid process thing in the middle of you? Whatever it is.
I'm not sure what your
spine.
Not your spine. Spine is a one syllable word. I'm talking about your mastozoid process thing in the middle. There's a big
vertebrae.
Thing. No,
not you're thinking of that alien autopsy.
No, not vertebrae. That's in your back. There's a thing you have in the middle of you, and it's got a really long name.
An intestine? The lung intestine?
This is why I'm only good at questions about like Cheers and like Kiss records. Well, never mind. Let's just pretend that whole embarrassing anatomical gaffe didn't happen just now.
Well, the good doctor says they use surgical tools that were very small.
So much like a fish hook, if you'd gotten stuck with a fish hook.
Okay, let's just imagine, though, before I play this, that you're that guy. That's got to be an exercise of being unnerved. You've been speared by a fish. You're laying there drowning in your own blood on a table. And the guy goes, wait, I'll take care of this. No problem. And then he comes up with a fish hook right into your view. That's got to feel fantastic.
Much like a fish hook, if you'd gotten stuck with
don't
a fish hook.
Don't you move!
You pull it through because of the barbs. If you try to pull it out backwards, you're going to less more, tear more structures.
Tear more structures.
And then repair the holes that are left behind.
So he was more sensible than Steve Irwin.
Yes.
And didn't take matters into his own hands. He waited for help from the authorities.
Matters into his own heart. Don't. Don't take it to heart, Steve. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared. There's no one. Thank you. All right. I'm going to make a master mix, like a 12-inch of all of those things. So they all roll at the same time. Fantastic. All right. Nature rising up, killing us all. You're all doomed. Your children are going to die. Here's Tim Riley.
Is the president comparing the Iraq war to Vietnam? Tom Friedman wrote in the New York Times today that we might see the Iraqi equivalent of the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. During an exclusive interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, the president says Friedman may have a point there.
He could be right. There's certainly a stepped-up level of violence, and we're heading into an election. My gut tells me that they have all along been trying to inflict enough damage that we leave. And the leaders of Al-Qaeda have made that very clear.
What's so to that? Is it the fact that it's a war? Was that really the key piece of information that indicated to you that they might be trying to harm us so we'd stop?
Mission accomplished.
Boy, it's a team of monkeys working around the clock there. This is why, and again, I don't wish to give advice to the president. Because,
like he's going to listen.
No, he's clearly not. No,
you got to be Barney.
No,
if you put on a dog costume and whisper in his ear, he might listen.
That's a disturbing image. I want you to kill the firstborn male in every household. Giant dog told
me. Are you like multiple personalities interrupting each other?
I think so. No, I'm just saying. I don't want to tip off Bush's advisor on how to make things any better for the administration. Although I don't even know that that can happen at this point.
I don't think they're coming to work anymore.
But when you email, it just bounces back. No recipient at this address. This is what happens when they don't brief him and when there's no one in the room with a shock collar. You know? Is it like Iraq, Mr. President?
It could be right. There's certainly a...
And you mean when somebody's going, no! You know?
Too late.
Well, they've gone 7 years without him being able to... how long since, 3.5 years ago that we've been in Iraq? They've gone 3.5 years without anybody in the Bush administration linking Iraq and Vietnam. And then you just can't let him out of our sight for a moment. It's like as soon as you walk away from your house and your kid lights the carpet on fire, that's it. As soon as they leave Bush alone and somebody asks him about Vietnam.
It could be right.
Yeah, all right. Well done, George.
Meanwhile, Tony Snow said it's just ridiculous to suggest the president is going to have a big course correction in Iraq.
So that's a bunch of hooey. It seems to be a collection of actually old hooey brought into a piece of new hooey. So, I mean, you got, I don't know where that came from, but it didn't come from the White House.
Okay, I get like three things happening at once there. Sarah's holding up a big piece of paper and waving it at me that says, sternum. Are you asking if that's the thing I'm referring to?
Yes, Dave just wrote me and he said...
Dave Krause?
Yeah.
No, there's...
Okay, that's a bunch of hooey.
It's old hooey stuck inside new hooey.
It
sounds so sexual.
So that's a bunch of hooey.
Wait.
It seems to be a collection of actually old hooey brought into a piece of new hooey.
Okay, the more we play that, the funnier it's going to get. Sometimes there's a little bit of a drop-off. When you play things repeatedly, they become less funny. Mm-hmm. Not so with this.
He's been basically splitting up cardio and weight.
Oh, wait, no, I'm wrong.
So that's a bunch of hooey. It seems to be a collection of actually old hooey brought into a piece of new hooey.
Doesn't new hooey sound like some sort of a gum product you would sell to children? Some sort of a, kids, come and get a brand new package of new hooey. And the hooey sounds like...
I've had a drink of you-hooey before.
Who? Hooey?
You-hooey.
There, castle.
And they're giving us... Oh, I can't.
We're not going to...
We're looked at as the future of this company.
Fools. That's the hooeyest of all.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying, we're not going to do this, but we could actually do an entire contest about doing. Give us a definition for the word nuhui. We're not going to do that, but... all right, you sons of bitches, this guy's got the... hello, Michael.
Yeah, man, I think you're looking for the Xiphoid process, is that it?
Well, there's... Okay, maybe I'm thinking of two different things.
What?
That's the thing that hangs down right below your sternum that if you push it... Or you punch it, it'll puncture your liver and kill you. Is that what you're talking about?
Wait, hold on. Let me see.
I'm just trying to help you.
No, that's not it.
Well, sure
that's a Scotty. That's a great laugh. Did you?
Bye.
Okay, and he's gone. And like that, he's gone. All right, let's try another one here. Jeff, hello, sir.
Are you trying to say sternocleidomastoid?
Aha! Yes!
Can I have Star Wars tickets?
Sure.
Thank you.
There are no Star Wars tickets left. And ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley. That was the best exchange right there.
Are you trying to say something about their presence? Can I have Star Wars tickets?
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, once President Bush signed that new law on military tribunals, administration officials and Republican leaders in Congress wasted no time giving Americans a taste of the new order created under this so-called unconstitutional act. Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, quickly issued a statement accusing Democrats who opposed the Military Commissions Act of 2006 of putting their liberal agenda ahead of the security of America. He said the Democrats would gingerly pamper the terrorists who plan to destroy innocent American lives.
Would hold them and stroke them and call them George.
And go skinny dipping them with them naked and go to sunless.
Give them tender, soft, nude massages.
This nonsense is part of a Republican Scare America First strategy for the elections of the Democrats, who advocated pampering terrorists, gingerly and otherwise, and giving them new rights.
Gently rubbing them with essential oils. I don't know what essential oils are. That's a thing you hear sometimes. You get like, blah, 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 with essential oils. I don't really, what really oils are essential when you think about it? That seems like a very subjective term. Rick. Stingrays propel themselves with their, quote, wings. I have witnessed a group of small stingrays leaping through waves similar to dolphins. That's just weird.
See, that was my first answer.
I know, it's just bizarre. They're really alien creatures. Here we go again. Rick, love your show. The body part you were mumbling incoherently about taking an incident with the old man stingray accident is the sternocleidomastoid muscle. It's basically a collection of muscles on your neck.
That sterno came in a little can.
Sterno is that thing that homeless people drink. Except they call it squeeze. It's true. All right. Do they sell sterno anymore? Whatever happened to 20 Mule Team Borax?
I would imagine it's still out there.
Sterno is amazing, man. Sterno, you've got to wonder, there are certain collections of products out there that are fascinating because they are never used. At least you don't ever imagine them being used for their intended purpose. You know what I mean? I don't want to riff on a whole thing here. You know what it is? I've got a whole stand-up comedy riff that just created itself in my head. Who was that bastard that was complaining that we weren't... Was it Steve in Vancouver? Who was that dick who was complaining that we weren't doing enough stand-up comedy on the station anymore?
Oh, I don't remember his name.
He's unimportant.
He was just a bump of the road.
He's dead to us.
Blip on the radar.
Non-human. He's an unperson. Anyway, this guy's comment about the sterno blah, blah, blah muscle, and you saying sterno, it's like instantly it created in my head like a good 5-minute stand-up comedy routine, which I'm just going to put aside. Put aside, put it on a shelf, like a survival biscuit in a bomb shelter. Break it open later. Bam. Here's Tim Riley.
So let's go on to bank number B.
Let's go on to bank number B.
Actually, B's not a number, it's a letter.
Are you fooling me? Was that you suckering me in just there? Okay.
Well, the most powerful woman in television is going political. TV talk show queen Oprah Winfrey is stumping for the 2008 election. And she wants to elect Senator Barack Obama to be the next one.
I know I don't just speak for myself. There are a lot of people who want to feel the audacity of hope, who want to feel that America can be a better place for everybody. There are a lot of people who...
You know, just sometimes you can just hear... I'll play this whole thing in a second. Sometimes you can just hear the speech writers at work. You can hear someone... There is nothing more tedious and laborious than when someone is trying very obviously and ham-handedly to create a catchphrase. As in audacity of hope. You can spot it right there. That's bad writing is what that is. It's like in that Things to Do in Denver when you're Dead movie where that guy kept talking about boat drinks and you could tell that they were just desperately trying to create something that the youth would start saying.
I know I don't just speak for myself. There are a lot of people who want to feel the audacity of hope.
Quit
who want to
that.
Feel that America can be a better place for everybody. There are a lot of people who would want you to run for the presidency of the United States.
All right.
Obama says, Oprah, why don't you run yourself?
I just want to point out to everybody
that
she was deflecting attention off her.
Yeah. I was indeed.
Because they were trying to get her to run, and she said, you know, I'm going to throw Barack under the bus. So I just want
not
to be...
Not under, I threw you in front of the bus, not under.
I swear, and Barack is another one of those words. I swear to God that Barack is like a sci-fi planet somewhere. Well, maybe he's a Mortal Kombat competitor. Barack. You were thinking of Metatars. I'm not thinking with Metatars. I think we've solved this. You could be thinking of manubrium. That's a funny word. Manubrium, which is an upper part of the sternum. People are just making things up now because they know that I don't know the difference and that I'll just blindly repeat anything that's put in front of me. Here's Tim Riley.
Before we get to the Clergy Watch, first an Ohio potato news break. Potato farmers are using more green manure to leach natural chemicals into the soil and fight off crop-destroying pests.
Is green manure the kind that happens if your dog, if he goes out too soon?
It's possible. Plants were on display at an exposition at the Fort Hall Indian Reservation, sponsored by the University of Idaho, to show potato farmers biologically friendly alternatives to pesticides.
Like poo.
That's from Idaho Action News.
Okay.
Top story of the evening.
Well, let's break. We'll come back with the Clergy Watch. Thank you. Thank you for just pulling the ripcord right there. When we come back, we have the Clergy Watch. We have Kate Moss News. Nail guns and testicles. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Not all together, of course. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio. He's the cult. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Now, I'm trying to use that as a post. 503-733-2970. Lost it now. Got money. Coming up later on. Now it's just hilarious to me. Coming up later on, we'll finish the pop culture. Trivia contest with Ryan, the engineer from across the hall. Tim Riley returns here in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City, our good friend. Thank you.
New York City.
I'm looking for the word that means erstwhile. No, it's not erstwhile. It's not ad hoc. Pro Tem? Not lame duck. Gary Baumgarten, hello, sir.
Yeah, I'm a lame duck. That's okay. You could say that.
It's not lame duck. What does Pro Tem mean?
Pro Tem means... What does Pro Tem mean, Daniel?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I stubbed my son. I can't believe it.
I think
it's like the fill-in person. Because I know that I've covered meetings where they have a mayor and a mayor pro tem.
See, and I always...
The mayor pro tem is the fill-in mayor.
Maybe. But it's not like a mayor-elect. It's like a pinch mayor.
Right.
All right. This is the weirdest conversation. Well, let's just say you're leaving, though. You're leaving next Thursday. Oh, God. But see, they seem to be piling on the great stories, though. They're making your last week a memorable one, because we had a little bit of this yesterday, but I understand now that the story has expanded from New Jersey, where all good, that is to say bad, things come from. It said this is about these funeral homes where, I mean, the story has so many layers of weird, where they're just sort of parting corpses out like they were old Packards. And just selling off the body parts to various pieces, taking like a guy's spine out and replacing it with like a piece of garden hose or whatever. It is just this whole... when they busted all these funeral home directors that are now rolling over and ratting on other funeral home directors, what is this all about? What's going on here?
Well, basically, they take these parts of bodies. Usually they are tissue, skin tissue, or portions of bones, and they use it for things like prostheses. For example, I have a prosthesis in my left ear because... my anvil had to be shaved, and they had to put in a prosthesis a long time ago. Now, perhaps part of that is made from the remains of a human being. And normally, people sign a donor card when they want to give portions of their body to science.
Sure.
And medical research. And normally, the family members sign off on it before the body parts are harvested. But there's a lot of money involved in this, and what they were doing is they were taking these body parts without the permission of the deceased, without the permission of their loved ones. And in fact, in one of the funeral homes, they actually had a hydraulic lift that went from the embalming room to a sub-basement where they were.
To like a loading dock?
I swear, they were taking the parts, you know, they had like a little operating room there where they were taking the parts, and then they would... up went the, I mean, it's like a scene from Frankenstein or something.
And then, like, some guy who was chewing on the stub of a cigar would just be out there going, you guys,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether it was a sanitary kind of situation or not.
It doesn't really matter at that point.
And there's no indication that the end users, the companies that were using the body parts, were anywhere aware, any way aware of what was going on. But there was a middleman in New Jersey that was taking these parts from funeral homes in New York and then parceling them out, literally.
I mean, look, I understand that you end up being one of those guys with the blanket full of DVDs you're selling, but I don't understand how you, one day you're a guy working at, like, a watch repair store, and, like, the next day you're a guy who's selling spleens to other people. It just, I got to wonder, what are the middle steps between the two? How does one end up in that? And plus, then you start thinking about, as you said, the end recipients, who are these companies that... I mean, look, I think everybody, we all at one time or another have purchased an item that perhaps we knew in our hearts came was ill-gotten somehow, like fell off the back of a truck somehow. Sort of like I got this brand new stereo, I'll let you have it for $35. And you don't ask. You're just like, it's a great bargain. I mean,
but in this case, Rick, it was a company that had been established legally doing this kind of business. The guy just got greedy and obviously, you know, there were greedy people who were providing the body parts. And one of the bodies that was harvested, wait, what word is that?
I hate that word. I despise that word. It just might be pitchforks.
Kind of an odd word to use, but was the body of Alistair Cook, who was a longtime host of Masterpiece Theater on public television. So, you know, there's a lot of interest, obviously, in this, and it's obviously very ghoulish, and the poor families now have to deal with the reality that their loved ones were buried, perhaps not intact, and for some people, there are religious considerations. You know, a lot of people say, you know, when I'm dead, it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust, use my body. You know, it's the ultimate in recycling, but there are other people, for religious purposes, believe that the body should be buried intact, and so... You know, there are all kinds of considerations there as well.
It's
very unfortunate this is occurring.
And it doesn't seem like a thing that you can ever really, like, it's a ball of yarn you can't really unravel. You're not really going to find where any of this, I mean, there's no hope.
No, you're not going to go to some poor person like me, and they're going to come knock on my door and say, sorry, Mr. Baumgart.
I need your ear.
In your ear. Yeah, it was part of Alistair Cook's body. We have to take it out. I mean, it doesn't quite work that way.
No.
So,
no.
You know, it's pretty... pretty disgusting.
All right. Well, like I said, they're making your last week a memorable one, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, you make it memorable.
Yes. Well, we try. We try to amuse. All right, Gary Baumgarten, enjoy your day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Baumgarten, I'm sorry. Your ear came from Alistair Cook, and we need it back. Best phrase ever. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Rick. I don't know if it's because of your medication, but your usually amazing intellect is flailing around like a spastic squirrel this week. First with trivia contest, then this whole medical term thing, and then to the stingray deal. You are aware that stingrays have giant flappy wings. I love the phrase flappy wings, as opposed to wings that are made of cement. Flappy wings to propel itself through the water, bird-like, right? It doesn't need the propulsion of a tail since three-quarters of its body acts as a propulsion device. Oh, I'm sorry. Like I'm all supposed to be some expert on stingrays. It's like an underwater bird, for criminy's sake. Also, he says, am I alone in that I always find it odd when people refer to fish and things that live in the ocean as animals? For some reason, it never sounds right to me. Seeing a giant trout and thinking that's a nice animal is just bizarre for some reason. Maybe I'm alone here. Yes. Yes, you are very, very alone. All right, Tim Riley's going to be joining us here in a few seconds. We will continue with the... here come the engineering emails about the promo. We'll get the Ryan from engineering back here next hour. We'll do phase two of the trivia question, too. Note that despite my best efforts, I started the Al Gore giveaway at like 11:30, and we are it is still now almost 1 o'clock, and we're not done. About Barack Obama and Barack... You're thinking of B.A. Baracus from the A-Team. All right, so there needs to be some sort of mashup between the two, clearly. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
All right, let's start with clergy.
You watch. I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, clergy watch.
Thank you. Here's your clergy watch for Thursday.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you.
Because I gotta have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith. I gotta have
faith. So we'll get to the Foley skinny dipping and nude massages in just a moment.
Thank God. Thank God Almighty.
But first, we've just learned that a former Vancouver Bible counselor has been arrested in a massive child porn sting.
That's hard to believe.
A former Bible camp counselor and Boy Scout leader rolled into one.
Tim, attention. Tim, would you repeat that again for the benefit of Scotty J?
A former Bible camp counselor and a Boy Scout leader.
All right, there you go.
Kind of a combo operation.
Sort of a two for one.
Has been arrested in an internet child pornography case in which subscribers purchase photos and videos of children engaged in sexual acts with adults. Now, Michael Norris of Vancouver, Washington, worked as a camp counselor and medical assistant at a Bible camp, as well as being a former lay youth minister,
so to speak.
He admitted to sexually abusing at least four children and manufacturing pornographic images of at least two children when agents executed a search warrant of his residence to confiscate his computer. The case has spread to 22 states.
Oh, good God. All right. And, you know, look, and I know that we get a lot of flack on this program because we're not the child-having kind, because there's another people on this program, with the exception of Scotty. Tim and Sarah and myself do not have children. But really, I do think there is some reasonable opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, if you want to be a scoutmaster, fine. You want to be a camp counselor, fine. You want to be a the Bible group leader, fine. You want to be a teacher, fine. If you want to be any three of those four things, and beyond that, there needs to be some serious looking into one's personal proclivities, because it does seem like that is sort of the unifying factor in all of these things. All right, and that just came down. That was just in Vancouver?
Yes.
All right, here you go.
Deep down, people really don't like kids.
Well.
Yeah, but see, you can't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're precious treasures.
No, I totally believe that. That some people just secretly hate their children.
Oh, it's not even secret. I mean, it's only secret from the kids themselves, and often not even them. Now, I will not say who this is.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, see, so you know that any sentence that starts that way is good, right? I will not say who this is, but and there's nobody that anybody here would know. It's no one connected with the show. I will say that up front. Because there's very few people connected with the show even have kids. Well, I guess that's maybe not true. I guess it's Dennis. And Dennis is on hold, actually. That's a sheer coincidence. But there's Scott Daly. But I guess that's it, right? Well, there's Peter Carlin. He's got a kid, I guess, or two. He's got some kid. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Anyway, so who's my Scotty? He's referring to himself in the third person on the screen. Scotty J has two children. But there is a person who I know, who not connected with the show, who we were.
You've told me the story before. It's the greatest story.
Well, I just got to make sure that we strip away as I go through this all pertinent details. Mm-hmm. But there is a person that Laura and I know. Who has beautiful bundles from heaven, children, two of them, and I swear to God, I mean, you cannot talk to this person for 15 seconds without some comment coming out that is like simultaneously like angry and like guilty and like embittered and self-loathing and like jealous and spiteful and envious and sad. All at once about, you know, I just don't like my children very much. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that you're going to dislike your children intensely. They don't tell you that you're going to wish with everything you had in you that you could just shove them back inside. You know, I will further note that this person, was for a long time a writer. Not anybody that you know, but I mean, that was their thing. They wanted to be a writer. That was their goal, was to write. And so, you know, and you try to cheer. I mean, what? And how are you supposed to respond to that? You're sitting there in the living room having tea, you know, and the person's sitting across me, like, I wish I could just smother them! You know, and you're sitting there going, oh, look at the time. Oh, I'm going to miss CSI. I got to go home. And it's, you know, what are you trying? And so, Lara's the nurturing one, of course, and so she's just sort of like, well, you know, maybe if you thought about, you know, getting back to, and of course we don't have children, so, you know, and so we're trying not to feel too guilty about the whole thing. We're like, well, have you thought about, getting back to your writing? You know, you always, and it's, what would I write about? All I'd write about is how much, and
in cold blood,
the person actually said this, and I swear to Christ, the person, this is like not even a month ago. The person actually said this in response to Laura going, well, why don't you get back to your writing? The person actually said, well, all I'd want to do is write a blog about how much I hate my goddamn children, and who wants to read that, you know? And the best part is the kids are like 8 and like 10, so they're writing that reading mommy's blog stage. So, there you go. So, no, it is not your imagination. There are really only two groups of people in this world, people who secretly hate their children and people who secretly love children a little too much.
And my mom is like, oh, you're just not the right age yet. I think that people who don't want children, then all of a sudden people convince them to, then they have to pretend that they like them, even though, like, the fact of the matter is they knew when they were younger that they did not want them.
Well, and people just won't accept that. That's the thing. It's like, people just will not accept that certain people don't want kids. I mean, for all of his, you know, and we'll talk, you know, because we're getting close to the Likas thing. Likas is going to be here. It's actually 2 weeks from tomorrow. We'll talk more about it later on today. 2 weeks from, because we were at Barracuda yesterday, kind of the walkthrough scope, and that place is cool. They've actually done some remodeling since the last time we were there. It's going to be very cool. Likas is here 2 weeks from tomorrow, November 3rd, doing a show live from Barracuda downtown. You know, no cover, no ticket, or anything. Just a show up. It's going to be a great time. But Likas, for all of that guy's polarization and the fact that people, a lot of people don't like him, you know, he's one of those guys who's completely upfront about that. He says, don't want him, have never wanted him, never going to have him, don't want to have kids. Rather throw myself in front of a goddamn train. And, you know, and people just won't accept that attitude from you. And so you're right. You get to that. Well, you know, and then how often you will hear this more. See, you're only 26.
No. I already am hearing it from my mom and my grandma.
It's only going to get worse is my point, though, because here's the thing is you may not have a biological clock and you might not ever get one. You probably won't. But, you know, but the thing is other people will get it for you. Other people will get, they will have a sympathy biological clock. Because Laura's friends are like that. They're like, you know, Laura, you know, it's one of these years. You're just not going to, it's going to be too late and you're going to have missed out. And it's like, and they can just feel my eyes boring into the side of their head as I'm giving them the hate stare. You know, telling them to knock it off. Because that's the thing is, people don't want to have kids. And then other people sort of, you know, you think you're going to hate the child and then you hold it. You know, that's the other tact they use. Is that you think you hate it now. It's like the used car guy. You think you hate it now. Wait till you drive it, you know?
My life wasn't worth living until I had little Georgie.
Oh, God. Yeah, so just sitting across from this woman who is clearly about to explode it with some sort of like weird spastic rage. I mean, if you're sitting in a room with your friends having a pleasant social evening and suddenly the conversation turns to how you want to write a blog about how you wish your children didn't exist, maybe it's time to, you know, reconsider some of your life paths. That's all I'm saying. Here's Jim Riley.
Meanwhile, an unnamed...
meanwhile, as we discussed in the greatest...
I'm just trying to convince everyone they hate their kids.
Yeah.
We found this unnamed elderly Catholic woman who thinks Mark Foley is a liar.
I think that it's so easy to blame things on other people instead of taking responsibility for your own mistakes.
Here on my home planet of Xenon 5, we do not believe Mark Foley to be guilty.
You stupid people.
She's speaking to us through subatomic space? What the hell is that about?
I think that it's so easy to blame things on other people instead of taking responsibility for your own mistakes.
I am a mysterious Italian cyborg.
There you go,
ladies and gentlemen.
Where did they find her?
She is a randomly chosen elderly Catholic woman
who's speaking to us from the bottom of the sea. All right.
I don't know if they were auditioned for the part or where they got them.
We go now to a woman speaking to us from a vent in the ocean floor.
I think that it's so easy to blame things on other people instead of taking responsibility for your own mistakes.
I exist on a series of silicon nutrients excreted by plants.
I think that's one that should be kept for future. Well, continuing with this story.
Bam.
A Catholic priest said he had an intimate 2-year relationship with former U.S. Representative Mark Foley back when he was just a little altar boy.
You know there's a thing called a Foley catheter?
I did not.
All right, just so you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, from his home on the island of Gozo near Italy.
Gozo the clown.
Anthony Mercisa described a series of encounters which he said Foley might perceive as being sexually inappropriate. Mm. Among them. Massaging a naked Foley.
Massaging a naked Foley. Is that like, wait, hold on. That's so close to something. Massaging a naked Foley. That's like, it's right there. Oh, I don't know what it is. Massaging a naked Foley. No.
Went at you, banana?
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's code for something, and then yet it's really not. It really is just the thing that it's supposed to be code for. What are you doing, massaging a naked Foley?
Skinny dipping down the old swimming hole in Lake Worth and being naked in the same room on overnight trips.
I hate the word skinny, the phrase skinny dipping, by the way. I don't, that phrase bugs me.
Who that bothers you more than being naked on overnight trips?
Well, I mean, but what does that mean, though, being naked on overnight trips? I mean, what is it? It's just like they're in, like, at the same hotel room or something?
Yes.
Well, you have to be naked. Somebody got to shower somehow. I mean, are they naked on top of each other in a bed? I mean, that's different than, like...
He didn't specify.
I got to change into my pajamas. Like, that's fine. I just don't want to make mountains out of, you know, molehills here. But yeah, skinny dipping isn't unpleasant. That's skinny dipping. Can we just say this right now? Skinny dipping is weird. I don't care. I'm not saying, how do I put that? I'm not saying it's weird as such. It is, skinny dipping is by nature sexual. It is a sexual thing. Because this is, I think it was actually like us a while back. There was some blah, 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 blah. My wife is skinny dipping with another man, but she claims it was nothing. You know, and that's skinny dipping over the, and that's another thing that if you are over the age of like 16 and there's more than two of you, it's weird. I'm just going to say that that's true.
So, one night, the man of the cloth says he was in a drug-induced stupor.
That's a great way. It's a great opening to any story.
Mm-hmm. And there was an incident which he can't quite clearly remember. I have to confess, I was going through a nervous breakdown. I was taking pills, tranquilizers. He's well on his way to rehab here, if they have them in Italy, on the island of Gozo.
The island of Barack.
He said the pills may have affected my mind a bit.
I think
here on the island of Gozo, we do not approve of such behavior.
Responsibility for you.
Well, I mean, think of all the things in the story. Skinny dipping, nude massages, naked in a hotel room. I was on the edge of a nervous breakdown. I was in a drug-induced stupor, and I was too high to remember what happened during the incident. Mm-hmm. It's all good things rolled into one there. Are we done with the clergy watch?
We got one more.
Oh, fantastic. This is the best day ever.
A Hong Kong church minister pled guilty to molesting a 15-year-old after persuading her... This is a girl.
It's like I've tried to serve you a piece of
a Hong Kong church minister pled guilty to molesting a 15-year-old after persuading her to strip by recounting the Bible story of Adam and Eve.
Oh, maybe he thought it was a boy.
Tsang Chu Fook told the Garden of Eden story, then asked the girl to show her frankness and honesty by stripping naked like Eve.
Also show your vagina, please.
This from the South China Morning News. The father of two admitted in court on Tuesday to seven charges of indecent assault stemming from two assaults in his church, five more during music lessons.
Where would you find the time? How long are these songs?
I don't know. The preacher works
there singing Inagata De Vita in church. Can you sing Do You Feel Like I Do? I've got some molesting to get on back here.
How about American Pie?
Do another solo.
The preacher works at the Bread of Life Church.
Okay, there you go. Bam! There's your triple clergy watch. Oh, good God Almighty. Because I gotta have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. Speaking of the beauty of children, let's talk to our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger. Hello, sir.
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I thought I'd... chime in. I decided to take the lovely bride down to the haunt of the house.
You know, when you
call
the...
give you a heads up on how scary it really is.
Oh, this you would actually give me this. This is interesting. You had called me about this last night. That you actually had you went to the House of Midnight, which is actually as people have noted, it's only open until 11 p.m. I'm aware of that. But you went there last night actually. Did you say that she actually wouldn't even go into the second half?
My wife would not go into the second half because it honestly. I love, to me, it's like the feeling of driving a car fast or riding a roller coaster. I love the feeling of being scared, and I was genuinely freaked out in the first one, and then she about broke all my fingers by hanging on to me, and I knew by being the first one in, they never scare the first guy.
Right.
They go for the person in the back.
Sure.
And that was my wife. So they're standing behind her doing a, you know, where she, you know, and freaking her out. She's trying to pull me through the whole thing. You know, we're banging into black walls. You can't see anything. And so we get out of the first part, and she looks at me. I'm like, well, let's go. And she says, there's no way in hell.
Let's go into Hatchet House now. Come on, honey.
Yeah,
where's your spine?
Let's go the other one.
Yeah. And so she wouldn't even have any of that.
No, she would not even go into the second one with me. I ended up going in the second one, which actually, the Hatchet House, for my own personal flavor,
Hatchet House,
I think is better.
Okay. I'm sorry, Hatchet House is just... Well, we're going to equip Scotty J with a mini-disc recorder and send him through, I think, this weekend. Okay. We're going to have him go through and record the whole thing.
Well, so you were scared, though.
But yeah, you were scared. Where would you put scale on a classic 1 to 10 scale? How scary?
Well, because I'm an adult and I can let myself become an 8-year-old again, I would say it's definitely somewhere between, like, an 8 and 9.
All right.
Oh, I'm not going there. No.
Yeah, no. It sounds a little freaky. It really does. And I, as much as I love Halloween, there's certain. As I've gotten older, I've become a sissy about some stuff. Like when Laura and I were in California. God, when were there? It was like a year and a half ago. And I hadn't been to Magic Mountain for the longest time. And I'm like, oh, let's go to Magic Mountain. Let's go ride some roller coasters. Badass. You know, like I'd been there since I was 12. We went through like two of them, and I was done. I was done. And I felt like a tool because you pay like $1,000 to get into that place now. We went through two roller coasters. I'm like, that's it. I'm like, I cannot do any more of these. I am too. Roller coasters, but I know we're talking about Haunted House, but the roller coasters, they have come a long way with those things.
Well, they do a really good job in the Haunted House of making it as, you know, it's almost a, it's a real film-esque type of feeling where it's not just the gore and somebody popping their head out of a hole. It's the way they do it. They've done a really good job of tailoring once you're in there,
don't know
where it's coming from.
All right.
And also, my wife had the best comment ever as we got out. She said, I don't think I've ever been closer to you except for with our pants off.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. There you go.
Make more babies.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, speaking of...
yeah, we got to... I'm sorry. I got to go impregnate my wife. I'll try to...
There you go. Excellent. Bada bing. And we're out. All right, Dennis Pitzenbarger, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't. Dennis doesn't scare easily.
No,
I'm not going anywhere near that.
Scotty J is typing in the screen. If I have to go, so does Sarah.
No way.
No. See, you are the most recent hire, Scotty J. So you'll be doing this the way we tell you to.
You can bring Mrs. J. Bring the kids.
There you go. Let them see you cry like a girl. Rick is massaging a naked Foley like cursing Aunt Jemima. Yes, yes, it is. All right, let's break here. We'll come back around the corner. Peter Carlin's going to join us, talk a little about his Borders books reading, which is coming up tonight. Borders books. Border book?
Border
books. Border books.
Border. Borders.
Borders. Barack Obama. Jibbity-jibbity, right at that 10. All right, coming up, Peter Carlin's going to talk to us. We'll do the second installment of this ongoing, endless, goddamn trivia contest with Ryan the Engineer and other stuff. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.